So 2 Samuel chapter 9, we're always somewhere in the life of David, right? We're always thinking about the life of David, studying it somehow. It's so fascinating. What a saga, what a story. The shepherd called out of the field, left behind, left out of the conversation, but then called out of the field, anointed king, brought into the king's court, only to have a javelin thrown at him. To kill Goliath, only to have jealousy, jealousy as cruel as the grave, as it says in Proverbs, directed at him by Saul, and that he would always be humbly recognizing who Saul was, never taking things into his own hands, chased across the desert, and then himself in the throne, failing, being restored, being chased out by Absalom, coming back, failing, right? But ultimately recognizing the place that God had given him. It's an amazing story. And right here in the middle of it, it seems like there's a little peaceful time in David's life. And he remembers a promise that he had made to Jonathan. He told Jonathan, Jonathan knew that David would be king. He knew that he was anointed, he was chosen by God. And Jonathan actually, at one point, took his robe off and put it on David because he recognized that even though in the line it was Jonathan's kingdom, but he recognized that actually it was David's kingdom because God had ordained it. So David had promised to be kind to his family. So here we see, I don't know how this comes about, if the king is reflecting, if he's meditating and he's going through things that he had spoken, but he, in verse 1, it said, David, is there still anyone who is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Something that is beautiful in that is a king seeking to show kindness. And that is so Christ-like. That our King, Christ, came here to express God's kindness. Remember the verse in John 1:18, that interesting verse from the other night, that Christ is in the bosom of the Father. He is in the bosom of the Father and He has declared Him. And how much depth is there? What mystery is there? Well, it is what Christ has declared to us. That's what is there. And this is there. Grace is there. David is looking to express kindness on Saul's family for Jonathan's sake. And maybe we know the way it would be. Naturally, anybody left of the household of Saul would be eliminated. Not kindness, but harshness. There was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when they had called him to David, the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" And he said, "At your service." That's where it all began, at your service. Then the king said, "Is there not still someone of the household of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God?" And Ziba said to the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame on his feet." Isn't that beautiful? It actually ends up being Jonathan's son. I don't think David, maybe David knew Mephibosheth, maybe not. I don't think, seems like he didn't know him before. But it's Jonathan's son. David's brother, David's best friend, David's the one who it says that they loved each other. So it's Jonathan's son, Mephibosheth. There is still a son of Jonathan who is lame on his feet. And the king said to him, "Where is he?" Ziba said, "Indeed, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodebar." Lodebar means the place of no pasture. That's what it means. It is just desolate, right? It's a desolate place. There is nothing to feed on in Lodebar. There's nothing to provide yourself with in Lodebar. Mephibosheth lives there in Lodebar. Doesn't it sound like a miserable place? This sounds like there's a fog always, right? It's just like everything's sticky, right? I don't know. Just nothing works right. It's loaded, Bar. The king sent and brought him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth! And he answered, Here is your servant. David said to him, Do not fear, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table continually. Then he bowed himself and said, What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? How about that for self-esteem? Right. The lame shame from Lodabar. He imagines himself as a dead dog. The king called to Ziba. David didn't respond to that. Isn't that encouraging? David didn't respond to Mephibosheth's identity of himself. He said, What do you want with such a dead dog as I am? David said, Oh, knock it off. No, we're above that. And he says to Ziba, What is your servant? Oh, yeah. He said to Ziba, I have given to your master's son all that belonged to the house of Saul and to his house. You therefore and your sons and your servants shall work the land for him, and you shall bring in the harvest, that your master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, your master's son, shall eat bread at my table always. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, According to all that my lord the king has commanded his servant, so will your servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons. Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, and all who dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame in both of his feet. Despite being lame, he sat at the king's table. Despite being maybe natural enemy of the king, he ate at the king's table. Despite having nothing to offer to the king, he sat at the king's table. Despite seeing himself as a dead dog, he ate at the king's table. And what are the words that he listened to? The words that he listened to were the words of the king. And throughout this chapter, you simply hear David speaking. David is speaking. Ziba is answering. Mephibosheth is expressing himself, but David is not responding. But instead, he is speaking and he is telling Mephibosheth what he will do, what his place is, what his identity is, where he should be, and what he has. He goes from being in a place of no pasture in Lodabar to all of a sudden having the land of Saul full of harvest, right? Maintained by somebody else, worked by somebody else, and he would reap all the benefits of those fields. Nothing that he did put him in this position. Just was who he was. But because the king wanted to express kindness, wanted to show kindness, he found himself at the king's table, eating continually there with him. And we are the same way. We are also a bunch of dead dogs. We also are lame. We also are unable. We also don't have anything to offer. But God has decided to express His grace to us. And He looked out over His creation and He said, I will show my kindness to them. Like when He created everything, He said it was good. But he didn't have anything, other than that, he didn't have anything to say to creation. Creation. The beauty of creation. The uniqueness of every little part of creation. He didn't have anything to say, but it was good. But then when he created man, he found someone that he could speak to, and someone that he could lead, someone he could teach, someone he could fellowship with. And that's our position. That we don't have anything to offer to God. But that doesn't mean that we don't have a place at his table. Because he has decided to show kindness to us. We have a place at his table. We are called there and we say, yeah, but I'm lame. And God says, what are you talking about? That's nothing. That's nothing. He said, I'm a dead dog. No, no, that's nothing. I come from a bad neighborhood. No, no, that's nothing. I came from the wrong family. I have the wrong lineage. No, no, that's nothing. You have a place here at my table. Not only did he have a place, but now he had income. Right, didn't he? That the whatever Ziba and Ziba's sons harvested, the proceeds were Mephibosheth's. It was Mephibosheth's fields. Someone else would work it and be taken care of, but he made the proceeds off of all of it. Tax free. The king's house. It's like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 talks about he deals with us according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1:7 and 2:7 both say according to the riches of his grace. How much wealth is there in the grace of God? We don't know. The grace of God, it's in the bosom of the Father. Like the depth of it, the value of it, the understanding of it is in the bosom of the Father. And we have no idea how to measure it, how to understand it, except that Christ came down here and expressed it to us. And we say, I used to be in Lodebar. I used to be lame. I used to be like hiding from the king. I used to not want to be known by him. I wanted my identity to be hidden. I wanted my actions to be hidden. But now I find myself at his table. And I listen to the words that he says about me, and it's amazing. So like Mephibosheth, if he ever doubted his position with David, do you think maybe he did? Maybe we've talked about this before, but imagine the second day that Mephibosheth was called to come to the king's table. Right? The first day he was terrified. Well, his reaction was that he fell on his face before the king and he was ready to beg for his life. But instead, David spoke to him, kindness to him, and expressed grace. Imagine the second day now saying, okay, I'm going to make my own way into the king's house. I'm going to pull myself up to the table with an expectation that there's food there for me. That's like, that could be a terrifying situation, right? Like he's pulling, like, I know what he said. But what's he actually going to do? I won't know until I put myself there. I won't know until I listen to the words that the king says. And this is a challenge to us that we could be so occupied with our identity of ourselves that we doubt the grace of God. Like Paul said to the Galatians, who has so easily bewitched you? In Galatians 3:1. Who has so easily bewitched you? And then 3:3, how you started by grace, you started by faith, how would you continue by the law? And we could see someone else do it and we say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? But then when it's ourselves, it's difficult. But then when I, by faith, say, no, I heard what the king said. I heard what he said about me. I heard why I was there. And I heard what he asked me to do. And what he asked me to do was simply put myself in a place where I could feed myself from his table and hear his words. So I'm going to take this risk that the grace of God, that the grace of the king is real. And now I'm going to act based on his kindness. And we'll see how it goes. So imagine that first day, like coming out, like, oh my gosh, am I really allowed to do this? Like I'm trying to, like, the connection is like somebody gave Jess and I like a weekend away once, and it was so nice. It was so nice. And like, we were like, is this really, like, are we really allowed to do this? Like, can we really just go do whatever we want? And we're like, I don't know. It sounds too good to be true. Right? And then we tried it. We went to the restaurant. And they were like, oh, how are you doing? Everything's all set. We were like, oh, this is amazing. Whoa. And then another time with my cousin Justin, we went down to Kiowa Island. I don't know. Kiowa Island's off the coast of Charleston, South Carolina. And it's just like a golfer's playground. It is like the best. Right? The Ocean Course is there. They played the PGA Championship there. Right? Oh, River Course, Turtle Cove, Turtle Point, Briar's Bluff, Briar's Bluff. All of these courses, they're magical. They are magical. Right? And we are there. And one of the guys at the country club gave us his member number, gave us his house keys, and he said, go for it. He said, I recommend the steakhouse. This is what you get, right? And we're there, we pull up in like a Toyota Corolla, you know, get out with our golf clubs, and some guy meets us and we're carrying our bag. He says, no, let me take those. We're like, no, please. And he's like, this is my job, you know? We're like, yeah, but where? And he's like, no. So he takes care of us, right? We get a little thing, our name engraved and put on the bag, and then the locker room's down there, and we're like, okay. We walk in and it's like, it's humongous. And there's like every amenity you can imagine is there, right? We're just like, we can just hang out here for the afternoon, right? Then we go on the course, and the course is absolutely perfect. And then we come in at 9, they say, well, make sure you go and have lunch. And then we were there for 3 days, and like by the third day, we're like, I'm ordering an extra soup, right? And it's like, let's bring it on. And it's like, at first we're like, no. Like I gotta carry my own weight here. No. This is given to you. With God, are we that way with God? Where we hold back a little bit. And who has deceived us that the grace of God is not as free as it is advertised? That who has told us, where have we gotten an idea that I don't have access to the king's table? Not by his words. He has not limited himself in expressing his grace to us. He's gone, there are stories through, look at this, story of Mephibosheth is given to us as an illustration of the kindness of God and the need to be listening to the king. And then throughout the Bible, there are stories of people who are not deserving, but that's never the point. The point is that they are chosen by God, called by God, and God has given his grace to them. And that's it. That's the whole story. And we now want to be tuned in to hearing what God has to say. And the story of Mephibosheth is crazy. That Ziba, come on now, Ziba. He wasn't faithful. Ziba caught wind that David was getting chased out, so Ziba left, and Absalom was there. And he was like, it came across to David that that Mephibosheth didn't trust David. He said, what? Ziba came and David said, where's Mephibosheth? And Ziba said, he's with Absalom. Right. Too bad. David said, what? And he just left. He left. He said, okay, fine. Whatever is Mephibosheth, you can have it, Ziba. And he just left. But when David came back after Absalom had stepped down, he found Mephibosheth. And the whole time that David was gone, Mephibosheth says, I think it says he never cut his fingernails. Or something like that. Maybe he never, like he was mourning the whole time. And like he was distant from the words of the king. And David said, Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? And he said, well, Ziba didn't bring me. Like Ziba, what? Like where is Ziba in the story? Like why is Ziba taking upon himself to tell Mephibosheth what the king has to say? And why is Mephibosheth listening to Ziba when he knows the king speaks so directly to him and he himself has a place at the king's table? So let's not get lost in these in-betweens and in these things, but we have access to the king. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about this access with confidence, that we go with confidence to God ourselves, and we can expect the grace of God. It's not pride to expect grace. It's humility and it's obedience to be expecting grace. Like Mephibosheth dragging himself up there for the breakfast on the second day, saying, I don't know if I can really do this. But then he gets there and David says, oh, I'm so glad you're here, Mephibosheth. Here. And he passes him the biscuits or whatever it is. I don't know. Right? But it's not, nothing is required of him, but there is simply joy at his presence there so he can hear what the king has to say. God is this way with us. There is joy with God when we are simply there to hear what he has to say about us. And and it's not like a passing thing. It's not a fleeting thought. It's not an emotional response, but it is truth. It is absolutely not changing. And it is our identity. And his table is our position. Right? We know this term, positional truth. Right? Positional truth. Allow your position to become your experience. Don't allow your experience to become your position. If Mephibosheth allowed his experience to become his position, where would he be? Lodebar, looking at his legs that didn't work. But instead, he allows his position to become his experience, and what is he hearing now? The words of the king. And he's eating the best food at the king's table. And Pastor Love said it one time, and he's at the king's table, he can't even see his legs. Right? Like the inable legs are not even in the picture. But he is there at the king's table, and they are face to face. Don't be distracted from it, right? From the grace of God. Because, like we said this morning, there are so many distractions. So many distractions. And we could say that the distractions are the story that's happening in the world. But they're not. They are the interruption to the greater story, which is our access to God, which is our place with God, our ability to receive grace and to live in freedom with God. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. This is the liberty that Christ has given us to come into the king's court and expect to be fed. Like Mephibosheth goes in there, he doesn't make demands, I assume, right? A right relationship to God. You don't come in and say, "Hey God, omelet now." No. But he goes in and he says, whatever you have for me today, I'll take it. Right? But I will confidently take my seat at the table and I'll take what you have for me today. I can't wait to hear the words that you have to say. Right? And we can be content with that. Can you imagine with the nation of Israel in the desert for 40 years with the manna? We know some people complained about the manna, right? It's there. They said, "Oh God, bread again. Here we go." Blah, 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 blah. And God said, "Okay, how about some quail?" Right? And he has some quail, and then they all get sick. And he's like, "How is that?" But I like to think that there was some content people in the camp of Israel, right? And that when they ate the bread, they said, "Oh my gosh, every day bread comes down from heaven to feed us. Oh my goodness." I imagine there were some positive people in the nation of Israel. This is just chances are, right? There's 6 million of them. Chances are there's one. No. But let's be that way. To be in awe. Never be familiar. Never be like, never be distracted from the miracle of the grace of God expressed to us and the freshness and the newness and the excitement of that grace expressed to us. So we can be like Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. It's a good word. It's a good one to practice. How about in Portuguese? What's Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth. Ooh, a little flavor. Mephibosheth. No, he just made it up. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't. Amen. Amen. Lord, thank you for giving us a place at your table. Thank you for speaking to us so clearly. Thank you for giving us ears to hear what you're saying to us too, Lord. Help us to have confidence in your grace, to trust in your grace. When you say your grace is sufficient for us, help us to trust that and receive from you. Thank you for the teens upstairs, the kids downstairs, and we pray for all the activity this week. Bible college classes starting up on Wednesday morning, Thursday night. Bless those. Pray for the schools, Lord, as the kids are in school. Elementary, preschool, elementary, middle school, high school, colleges, post-grad, everything that's happening, Lord, that you would protect and cover and lead. in this time. Thank you, Lord. Pray for everybody's work as we go out. Protect us, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Give us an ability to be profitable in this time, Lord. Pray for business owners, everything they have, Lord. Bless them. Pray for parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, Lord, friends, family. Lord, give it to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.